Hello and welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast. I'm Connor. I'm here with Mike. We are excited to be with you. If you were listening closely, you heard a new title for the podcast, Loving Truth. Today is the first day. Today's the first day. This is the first episode under a new name. This has probably been, Mike, tell me, 300 plus episodes now that we're into the Ordinary Church Podcast.
Tanner, can you tell us? I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like we're in the hundreds.
It's been for years. We've done this for years.
Over 300. Okay. Over 300 episodes of the Ordinary Church Podcast. But
there you go.
Today, just tell us, Mike.
Well, see, we've been wanting to. We've actually changed the name a long time ago, but we didn't have the artwork, and we're getting it by next week. And so it's literally, you know, we just kind of called it today and said, we're not waiting any longer. It's as of this time right here, it's the Loving Truth Podcast.
Loving Truth.
And it's really kind of the motto of our church, if you think about it. We have mugs that say Loving Truth on it. The idea, our website says it. The idea is that, you know, we speak the truth in love. We love the truth. We love it. The scriptures talk about loving the truth so as to be saved. Even those who did not love the truth so as to be saved. So those that are believers, we love the truth. Mm. We love the word of God. We love to speak the truth. But we also love people with the truth. And there's a lot of ways you can take that.
Yeah.
So loving truth.
Amen. Loving truth. So
active.
You heard it here first.
Active. It's a very active thing, right?
It is. It is.
You're actively loving truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And
on.
Loving with truth.
Right on.
There you go.
So there you go, Loving Truth Podcast. And today we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits actually of the Spirit. Galatians 5 is the passage that comes to mind. Mike, let me, I'll just tell everybody, this podcast can kind of just go in a few different directions. I'll ask Mike some questions. But we just want to wade in on the theme of the fruits of the Spirit. Mike, let me start with this question. Really recently, actually, I heard someone say that Galatians 5 is core to their understanding of spiritual maturity. It's a core passage for them, and specifically the idea that the Spirit bears fruit in the lives of his people. That's core to kind of their framework for Christian maturity. What do you think about that? Would you nuance that in any way? Do you feel like that's the right way to think about the centrality of this idea that the Spirit bears fruit in our lives?
That's an interesting way to put it. Like the idea of that's kind of the marker of, or maybe a evidence of spiritual Christian maturity kind of a thing.
Yeah, evidence of, yeah. Or just that for a believer to say, okay, I know that the Spirit is bearing fruit in my life. That's like a core realization and a core understanding for a person to be pursuing spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting idea.
It's interesting. I will tell you, like, I don't usually use those terms. I don't usually even go to the fruit of the Spirit and say, that's the thing. Like, I usually just say, like, do you love Jesus? Like, 1 John 5:11-12, the witness is this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit a lot, but I usually wouldn't say that's the marker of Christian maturity.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, 'cause your mind would go toward loving Jesus, and you've been saying that for years.
Loving Jesus, but also probably like the qualifications for elders or deacons, or go to Titus 2, and here's the things that the godly person traffics in. You know, this is the kind of life they live.
Right.
And so I'm preaching Titus 2 this Sunday, and I'm like, you know, this is literally like, here's godliness and how you should live it out. And it's as simple as older women teaching young women to love their husbands and kids, you know, and so on and so forth. But I'd say that we can't underestimate the fruit of the Spirit. I just personally don't focus on it, and I actually think that's good.
Hmm. Can you elaborate on that? Really interesting.
Let's talk about a fruit tree.
Yeah.
Okay. If I planted, when my mom passed away in November, some very good friends of ours gave us it's called a fruit salad tree. It's like a rock fruit tree.
Okay.
And it's plum, peach, nectarine, and apricot.
Wow. All apricot, grafted.
However you want to say
that's
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all grafted in. And you know what's sweet is my mom's dad, my grandfather, William Wallace Howell, who died when I was in high school, did a lot of that grafting in. He was a cable splicer by trade, heavy, you know, machinery type work. But he did a lot of grafting, and I saw him do it many times. He would take his pocket knife out and just graft one tree into another, and then wrap it up with the green, you know, garden tape, whatever you want to call it. And wow. It was really cool.
That's cool, yeah.
But I say that because I look out my window, dining room window, and two of the kinds of fruit are out there. There's peaches and there are nectarines. No plums, no apricots, okay? But they're the other two, and they're just there. And, you know, I've got an apple tree on the other side of the house. I've got cherry trees that have not given any cherries. I've got guava trees that give guavas. I've got a plum tree that gives plums. I've got a nectarine tree that gives nectarines on the other side of the yard. Mm-hmm. I've got lime trees that don't give a lot, but they give some. But I guess the fruit is just proof of life, okay? So the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of the root of faith. Hmm. And if it's missing, you're either like, you know, Peter, who was wandering and would be brought back, or Judas, who never believed. Hmm. So I feel like it's very seminal. It's very like foundational to the Christian life. I don't usually see them as markers. Probably, let me give you I'll hand it over to you in just a moment. But the reason is because when I was first a believer, I ran into so many people. We're talking 1982.
Yeah.
Who would say, I need to work on, and they would pick something out.
Pick one
out
of the list, yeah.
I need to work on my gentleness.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but my first thought was, oh, you're going to get tested in gentleness now. Like, why are you, or I just need to work on this. I need to work on this. I've never run into a tree that tells me I need to work on bearing fruit. Yeah, it's like the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
But it's interesting. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Walk according to the Spirit is obeying the word of God.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think the fruit is shown by as you live the Christian life, not as you focus on the fruit that you think should be bearing.
Yeah, that's great. No, I love that, Mike. I feel like I don't know that it's necessarily wrong, but I don't know that it's necessarily always so helpful to say, look at the list, pick the one that you need to work on this week, and okay, I'm really going to focus on patience. Maybe, and there might be times for that, and maybe maybe you really feel this conviction. I know that there's not that fruit of patience like I want to see in my life. So I'm praying for that. I'm asking that God would help me grow in that way. But yeah, it's not really something that we can engineer on our own. And you're growing as you walk by the Spirit. And then you ask the question, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And so to live a life under His possession, under His control, under His influence. And of course, the Spirit is opening our eyes to see who Jesus is and helping us walk with Him. So that's where I'm with you, Mike. Like mm-hmm. the focus for the believer is I see the Lord. I intake His word. I respond to His word. I'm praying that He'd help me in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to bear fruit in my life if I really belong to Him. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts, Mike, where do you feel like you see believers really thinking in good and encouraging ways about the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Just any kind of good thinking that you see out there in terms of how people think about the fruits of the Spirit, what the Spirit's doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go back to another passage, but in Colossians where it talks about that let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ, it's act as arbiter in your hearts, rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, Colossians 3:15. And then Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then it goes on to literally like, it talks about walking by the Spirit and not according to the flesh, right? Like be filled with the Spirit and all of that. And the idea would be that you're filled with the word, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, you put on love above all, and I think, again, love, but then go back to Galatians 5 for a moment. It's interesting, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is, it says, but, okay, so it's contrasting with something, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control against such things, okay? Such things there is no law. So there's a plurality to it, but it's not saying these are the only things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think one of the helpful things and encouraging that I see the good is when a believer doesn't limit themselves to those things, okay? And it says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They're not resisting the Spirit of God. But if you go back up, it's impure. The works of the flesh are evident. Just like the fruit of the Spirit is evident, but sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, all of that. Well, the fruits that are listed here, and it isn't plural, by the way, it's the fruit of the Spirit,
right?
Which is actually plural, okay? More plural than with an S, okay? It's not just these that are listed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the outcome, the root of faith And again, it has to be there and you'll see the outcome. But these that are listed are like the opposites of the things that were listed of the deeds of the flesh. Just like those aren't the only deeds of the flesh, these are not the only
yeah.
fruits of the Spirit. Now, can you put every good thing you can find in the Bible that the Spirit does under those categories? I'm sure if you tried, you could.
Mm.
But God wasn't saying these are the only categories.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think you can't cherry pick, right? Necessarily.
That's a good one. Cherry pick.
There you go. Well, just you can't. You'd have to make the case. This passage is that core, you know, either in Paul's thinking or in the thinking of the New Testament as a whole, to say it's right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, because there are other passages that are talking about what spiritual maturity is, and there's other passages that are dealing with what God is doing in our lives. So this isn't the only picture. It's not the only place to turn, but I think it's helpful. Well, maybe the context could be helpful. The context of Galatians 5 is Paul saying, look, if you accept circumcision, if you go back to the law, Christ will be of no value to you. The Messiah mm-hmm. will not be meaningful to you if you still think that you're going to be helped in your relationship with God by adopting certain external practices. And then mm-hmm. he says, you're free.
Yes.
You're free, right? But don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but in love, serve one another.
Yeah.
So I think that the whole conversation about works of the flesh, works of the Spirit, is addressing the concern, okay, if we're free from the law, what if anarchy breaks out? If we're free from these external constraints, how are we going to, you know, how's this thing going to work out where mm-hmm. we actually see these beautiful lives emerging? And he's like, oh, you're under the control of God's Spirit now. And if yeah. you walk by that Spirit, you're going to see amazing things happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're walking by the Spirit, it's looking to Jesus, it's following him, it's embracing his word, it's following his word, all the things that you've said. What else are you thinking, Mike?
Well, you know, it's for freedom that Christ set you free, right? Galatians 5:1, don't be subject to a yoke of slavery anymore.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you'll know the truth will set you free, John 8. And I think in James, I'll just end with this, but my final comment I'll say is this. It says that where there, in James 3:16, where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Hmm. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, which is one of the fruit listed in Galatians 5, open to reason, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Hmm. Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Impartial and sincere. Then it says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So love, joy, peace.
That's a great
it's just
verse.
An interesting, I love that because that's the wisdom from above that just brings forth this fruit. And again, God bears it while we do what we're called to do.
Yeah, that's great. I'll just mention one other verse as well, Titus 2. I think you already said Titus 2, didn't you? You mentioned that earlier. Just the very first verse of that, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. But then the list that follows of what he teaches or what he's telling Titus to teach is all about practical life and obedience to the Lord. And I feel like the Galatians 5 passage as well just makes me think the person who's controlled by the Spirit, the fruit that they see in their life is not, I believe certain things intellectually. It's, I see my life transformed, right? Mm-hmm. I see love and peace and joy, all that list and more. I see those things taking root in my life, or I see those fruits being born. So that might just be a good kind of corrective or a nudge or even something to kind of, you know, stimulate thinking and prayer. Okay, I believe certain things about the Lord. I love his word, but am I seeing that transforming work? And how can I pray for, you know, deeper transformation to be happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's a theme that I think carries across the entire New Testament. Mike, thanks. It's been a good step into loving truth. So hope that if you're listening, that was an encouragement to you to love the truth of God's word about what the Spirit's doing. We'll talk to you next time on the podcast. Until then, God bless you and have an awesome day.